thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is the reason we have this broadcast. He alone is worthy of all our worship, of anything we can do. And we're just so honored that we have this opportunity to be here. Just a few feet from me is Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Brother Doug.
And I'll tell you, folks, if there's one thing that creeps into the life, that's crept into my life, or that creeps into the life of a Christian, especially a new Christian, all the junk we've been through, I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit of a doubting Doug sometimes. And we've all heard the expression, doubting Thomas, you know. Lord, is that really you? I mean, I've doubted some things in my life. And I got to tell you, you know, doubting things, being on the outside, worried, hey, is this relationship going to work? Is this life going to work? All that's there. But when we doubt God, man, I mean, that's where the rubber comes off the road. That's where our relationship with Christ swerves. That's where we need to stop and pray. And we've all been there. Folks, I don't want you to feel bad if you've dealt with some kind of doubt in your life. Hey, does God got my back? Can God hear me? I can't tell you how many wonderful, great people I've met in my life. Missionaries, pastors, pastors' wives, name it. People who said, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm doubting God, or God hasn't been talking to me, or God's not doing things in my life. Folks, can I tell you, I'm chief among those people that I've worked with on that. I've been there too. And sometimes we all have to work together. And it wasn't terribly long ago. I had a gentleman, and this is years ago, and I wish I remembered his name. He told me to share it with you guys. It's like 2 or 3 years ago. He wrote a book on doubt. He said, you want to know what happened to me, Doug? I said, what happened to you? And I'll have to look for the book because I got most of my books out now. And he said, as I was writing that book on doubt, boy, the devil was kicking me around, Brother Doug. Boy, the devil was throwing everything at me. But here's God's word. And we got to remember God's word. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of sea, driven with wind and toss. So when we waver, when we get stuck out there, when our faith goes there, we're like out at sea, like a wave just being tossed around. And folks, I've been tossed. I've been shook, and I've been that guy. And then remembering those great words over in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of righteousness. And so when doubt comes along, I have to put those things, those Isaiahs in me. I have to put Proverbs 3:5-8, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. When doubt shows up in my life, it's when I'm leaning on my own understanding. God, how can you do that? And always acknowledge him. You want to serve God and make him happy, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You want to get out of doubt? Folks, you got to trust in the Lord. You want to get out of doubt? You got to go to the Lord. You want to get out of doubt? You got to unplug from this world. And I know I've said it a million times if I said it once, but what you plug into is where you get your energy from. Yeah. And when that doubt shows up, when you feel like you're not hearing from God, been there recently. Boy, I got to unplug everything. I got to start reading God's word. He starts talking to me. It's everywhere. Kevin, doubt. You been there?
Oh, brother. I've been there. To be honest with you, I've been there recently just going through sickness.
Yeah.
It'll make you just doubt everything. You know, it just, if you're especially if you got autoimmune stuff going on, there's something about an autoimmune attack. And I don't know if it's mine, you know, that I had that Lyme disease from a tick bite years ago. I had it really bad. And that gets into your brain, you know.
Yeah, it sure does.
They talk about the effects that through the brain-blood barrier that don't go away. And, but anyway, you know, the first mention of the word doubt in the Bible, by the way, thank you for choosing this word. I thought to myself, this is timely, Lord.
Yeah.
But Genesis 37:33, the first mention of the word doubt, or a form of the word doubt even, is Jacob saying, and he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. No, I know he's not talking about doubt as a subject, dealing with the subject of doubt. He's basically saying, look, this is, what need have I of any further witnesses? You know, the evidence is in, this is the way it is. And a couple things I get from this as a takeaway. Number one, it's first mentioned, so it's worth looking at as far as learning what does God have to say about doubt following this that carries through the scriptures. Another thing is that doubt here is in a negative kind of a, well, doubt is generally speaking negative, but doubt is also a misconstrued thing. So you can say, I'm doubting the veracity of something, or I'm saying doubtless that this is true when it's not true. What am I saying? I'm saying Jacob believed that his son was dead based on some evidence that was presented to him. And the evidence was presented by his sons, minus Joseph, and they were trying to get rid of Joseph, and they were trying to cover their tracks by saying, okay, look, we couldn't kill him, but listen, let's at least, you know, let's let Dad not try to chase him to Egypt and that kind of thing. Let's put this thing to rest, and here's a good alibi. We'll make it look like he got, you know, torn in pieces and eaten of lions and that kind of thing. So they gave him a bloody coat. Well, they had dipped it in a lamb's blood and that kind of thing. And Jacob, who himself was a snake in his past, he had a colorful past, and this coat of many colors that he made for his son was just eaten up. And he was saying, without a doubt, this is the way it is. And I got thinking, Doug, that the second thing that I extract from this is that we get doubt. We misconstrue the facts, and we say, no, it's this way without a doubt, and then we doubt the promise of God, because Joseph did have promise of God in dreams that he was going to, you know, amount to something, and so now is he really dead? So he's, oh, doubtless he's dead. And it was a misconstrual based on the fact that there was these unbelieving bad players in his life. And you know what? We catch doubt from bad players.
Yeah.
People come into our life that have misconstrued the facts. They say, well, I'm recovering from my Christianity. What do you mean you're recovering? Oh, yeah, I've deconstructed it. What? You know, I used to say, you know, I used to be all fired up about, you know, there was a book written years ago, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Now I think she said, no, I've kissed Christianity goodbye. So she was part of a movement at the time, a big a family movement, which was in itself a good thing. But she, you know, evidently has tossed the whole thing aside, probably because of trauma that she went through. I don't know her situation, this dear lady went through. But I do know this, she's come out of it saying, no, I've misconstrued the facts. God was not real. Jesus is not real. All that, whatever she's come, I didn't read the book, but wherever she's come out, she's landed on the side of deconstruction. And listen, we can look at things the wrong way based on what others feed to us. It may be Satan feeding it with thoughts. It may be our kids. Like Jacob, he became a miserable person. He spent the next 20 years or so in misery because of false evidence presented. How many people deconstruct their faith? Doug, I talked to someone on the phone today. He just said, I just don't believe like I used to believe. Doug, it's someone that I love very deeply. Yeah. And why did they deconstruct their faith? Two things. Because of the crowd they began to hang out with and because of the trauma that they went through. And Satan began to blur the lines and then say, you were wrong all along. And doubtless I was wrong. No. Don't doubt what you saw in the light because you're in the darkness. I want to be a person that just says, you know what? I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt, Doug.
Yeah, no, that's good. And, you know, if you do a study on the word, the Greek word for doubt, you're going to come out, you got to bang up with the English words. You're going to end up there with unbelief. You're going to end up being troubled. And that's where we get. We get there not with the Bible, like Kevin said.
Mm.
We don't get there with the godly crowd and the church crowd. We get there when we go outside of that. when we look to the world to give us that peace we've been talking about, when we look to the world to give us that mission we've been talking about. I remember over in Luke 24:38, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? And folks, I've been there. Kevin's saying, I've been there. He's talking about someone he loved talking to. I don't feel that anyway. And I found this out in life. Everything in my life that gets off track from God in the Bible is when I start dealing with things that are not God in the Bible. When I get away from God in the Bible, God in the Bible doesn't mean that much to me. The farther away I get from that, the light doesn't shine on me as brightly. And before you know it, I want to replace things of God with the world. Mm-hmm. You know, God's not sufficient enough to take care of me is when we have unbelief. That's what we're saying. When we have doubt, we're saying God's not enough. Folks, we'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Turn shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Hey folks, it's great to be back with you, and we continue on with the study of the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. We find ourselves in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 23 through 27. We've been talking about doubt, unbelief, trouble, and, you know, doubt will mess us up, and we've all been there. I mean, even at the rudimentary level, if we doubt that our employer has good intentions for us, work stinks. If we doubt that our spouse or the people we love and stuff are not loving us the way they should be, man, life stinks. Folks, imagine taking that to the level of the God of all eternity and doubting mm-hmm. anything that he can do. It says in the Bible here, and starting in verse number 23, chapter 20, book of John, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever ye retain, I went back to 23 from last time, they are retained because I wanted to include it with this. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand in the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hand. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And I wanted to stop there. It would have been easy to go and see Thomas's reaction, and we're going to do that. But talking about that word doubt and living there, Thomas is a disciple. You know, he's been with Christ. I know we're disciples, but in this sense, Thomas is following him around earth, going through all those, seeing the miracles, living there, seeing all those things. And Thomas is like, they killed him. He's a skeptic. There's skepticism in there. And I got to tell you, haven't we all been skeptic before? Haven't we all been there? I read a great book one time, Letters from a Skeptic, where his son wrote a book, letters to his father about him being saved and things he believed, and he shared verses, and it just overwhelmed me because I think I had been the father at times, and he's sitting there and he's responding. Jesus is saying, listen, go ahead and touch me. Jesus knows everything we say. God hears us. God sees us. He knows what's going on. And we have encounters all the time. You ever get the little thing where, you know, all of a sudden you feel, man, I did this wrong. I did this wrong. And you're dealing with doubt. But here we are, Kevin. I don't know if you've been there, but God does something in your mind or your heart, and you go, whoa, I messed that up. Man, I missed that. God, I'm sorry. I doubted you at that second. Or God, you just showed me. I remember it wasn't that long ago, maybe just a few days ago. I've been going through the Bible, and I think today I was in Leviticus chapters 3 and 4 or something like that. Psalm 47. I don't know. Luke 11. Whatever the case may be, but something a few days ago caught my attention. And I said, God, give me help with that. You know where that help came from? Today. Just continuing looking in the Bible, all that stuff goes away. And boy, God straightened me right up, brother. Has that ever happened to you where you say, whew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time when I get into doubt, God has to do that. He really does. He's so good at it. He's so good at it, getting us out of it. He's kind of like, it comes to mind in the book of Daniel, there's two places that use the term dissolving of doubts. God knows how to dissolve our doubts. Yeah. You know, doubts are not generally won over intellectually. You know, there's some things that are better felt than telt, as they say, better felt than telt. So when we have doubts, sometimes Jesus just has to come in and dissolve those doubts.
Yeah.
You know, and when it's dissolved, you know it's the Lord.
Yeah.
In Daniel 5:12, it says, they called on him because the king was having these nightmares and so forth, and just dreams that just weren't making sense or driving him crazy. No one could help him. The wise men couldn't help him. They said, you need to get this guy Daniel, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And it says the same thing in verse 16. When the king brought him in, he said, I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make me know the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and a chain of gold. So I'm sorry, this wasn't the dream. This was Belshazzar. This would be the handwriting on... No, excuse me, was not Belshazzar. That was a different king.
Folks, this is bronchitis brain. Hang with him.
Yeah. So speaking of interpretation, I'm not interpreting the scriptures very well here. But basically, it was Nebuchadnezzar. And what threw me off is it can read the writing. I'm thinking of the handwriting on the wall. That was a different king. But Daniel also interpreted that, by the way. But when he interpreted this one, he became known as known as the dissolver of doubts. And listen, if I had a can of something I could spray on my heart that God could give me, it would be doubt dissolver. Put a label on a can. God, please bottle it. Put a give me an aerosol can, and you know, I want to be able to spray something that'll dissolve doubts. I want to be able to, you know, have scrubbing bubbles, just take away the doubts that creep into my mind, because they lodge. They lodge. It's something that just sticks in there, and then it drills. And the Bible says, how long shall vain thoughts lodge within thee? I get a vain thought. You know, you're in a sick time, and you start thinking, in a sick time, if you're not careful, you begin to inventory the bad things about your life. Why? Because you feel bad. You're not doing anything. You're not getting anything done. I think especially for some of us, we need to have a sense of accomplishment. And even if we, you know, can't get out and dig a ditch or fix a car or something like that, we can accomplish something intellectually. Well, when you're sick, you're not accomplishing anything. You can't get it. You can't even find your place in the scriptures. I can't. Nothing's going right. And you begin inventory and you get this doubt lodged in your mind, and it'll drill in. You know, I was out west, and when I was out west, there was these little corkscrew things in the fields, and you get one of those stuck in your foot, it's a bad thing. But they say if a horse gets it stuck up between the hoof and the soft spot, it could kill the horse, because it's a corkscrew. Look it up.
It just keeps screwing in. Yeah.
It screws in, and the more you run on it, the more you ignore it, the more it screws in. And that's what doubt does. But God, he has a way of dissolving that thing. And you know, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? And I think, Doug, being in a podcast like this, listening to a podcast like this, I hope, I pray it's a word in season that dissolves people's doubts so that they can go out and say, you know what, this is a safe place where I can hear something that'll make my doubt go, ah, I can believe it.
Yeah, when you can let that breath out. But I think it's important to understand that our journey, right, our journey of life with God is going to have doubt. It's a normal part of our journey. But what we do with that doubt, we were talking yesterday, what if the blessing is coming out of illness? What if the blessing is coming out of trauma? What if the blessing is the worst thing we ever been through can be used for God's glory? Well, when it comes to doubt, what if the doubt, as we answer the doubt and find God's answers in the Word and take that breath and go, thanks, God. What if that changes everything in our life? What if that can completely turn us around? And I believe these traumas we've been through, these things we've been through in life. I mean, we're skeptics. You know, we all have doubt. I wonder if this company's going to do as good as they said they're going to do. I wonder if my lawn guy's going to do things the way I told him to do. I wonder if this plumbing's going to hold. There's a million things. But I'll tell you, folks, when it proves true, when God shows up and says, you know what, I can fix your marriage. You know what, I can fix your family. You know what, I can take that trauma you had and get you through it. And when God shows up and says, I know you've been through bad stuff, and I know some of you had people take off on you, and I know some of you had lives upside down, I can give you all things again. It'll be all right. You can move forward. When God does that, just go, whew, you're my God. I trust in you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your old understanding, friends. And that doubt, that unbelief, it goes away. We sure do love you guys. Thanks for taking time to tune in to this broadcast. We'll be with you tomorrow. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.